here in New York City at 99.5 FM, WBAI, and WBAI.org on the web. My name is Michael G. Haskins, and I am joined in studio this Tuesday morning, the 28th day of April 2015, by Pam Brown. And good morning, Pam.
Good morning, Michael. You know, the American story, the story of Israel, these are very dominant stories, you know. but part of that story is sort of this side narrative. Oh, yeah, there were these people there. There were these people there before. And this is not dissimilar from Native Americans, of course, as well. And I think that we're going to have a couple of people who are making a film called The Native and the Refugee joining us right now. And maybe we can incorporate them into this conversation. I mean, I think that they're on the line, Michael. So let me just give a quick introduction to them. And in fact, I should say that I found out about this film through an event that Amin was one of the organizers of. And it's part of the New York City to Palestine Solidarity group, organization that's done a lot of solidarity work since the attack on Gaza last summer. And a couple of activists, Matt Peterson and Malik Rasamni, are making a film that's connecting Native American, contemporary Native American struggles with Palestine and with Palestinian refugees. And I'd like to bring them on right now. Matt has produced other films before, and he's working on a project about Istanbul and Kurdish autonomy. He's a member of Red Channels and 16 Beaver, and is part of a commune in Ridgewood called Woodbine. And Malik is a researcher, film programmer, and critic based in New York and Beirut, also a member of Red Channels, and has been working on this film. Good morning, and welcome.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much. Maybe you can share with us a little bit about what motivated you to work on this project called The Native and the Refugee. It's a documentary in the process of filming.
You know, we've had the idea, and I know Matt from Red Channels from a while ago in the city. And it was an idea that we always had to kind of, we thought that these two different struggles had a historical similarity and that they could inform each other. We were also very interested in the kind of quasi-sovereignty or the kind of the space of the reservation and the refugee camp as these two kind of, in a way, impoverished, but at the same time, kind of semi-autonomous spaces within the existing nation states of America. I mean, we were talking about Lebanon, how the Palestinian camps operate in Lebanon, where I'm from. So that similarity had been there, and it had been an idea that we had tossed around back and forth, but it didn't really become something we worked on seriously until about a year ago when Matt approached me in a more serious way to start working on this, and then one thing led to another.
And did you start with Native American struggles here in the United States, or did you start in Palestine?
We started here in the U.S. because, you know, that's where we're living now in New York. We're based here, so we thought, you know, for obvious reasons, it'd be easier, and we wanted to kind of open it up to begin there. So we went to the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota, which is maybe the most famous Indian reservation and also maybe the poorest and most kind of devastated by, the oppression or kind of annihilation that was attempted by the U.S. state. So that's kind of where we began the project. And we also went to the Mohawk Reservation in upstate New York, which also borders Quebec and Ontario. So those have been the two places we've been focusing on in the U.S. for now.
And most of our listeners probably are not aware of some of the resistance that's contemporary, happening now, in other words, on these reservations. I actually almost misspoke and said plantations, but they're not the same as that, although they are sort of resonate with that kind of history in this country. Can you share some of the most recent kinds of resistance activities that people are engaged in?
I think one of the things we were most interested in about the Native or Indigenous struggles in the U.S., and this is true throughout all of the Americas, is they've been kind of at the forefront of environmental struggles and kind of resistance to infrastructure projects, which include pipelines, fracking, mining, extraction, uranium mining, coal mining, all of these questions. If you look, you know, in the U.S., especially, you'll find that Native communities are really at the, you know, leading these struggles. So even though, in a way, Native communities are very kind of invisible or unknown or don't really, you know, people don't really think about or see them very often, if you kind of think about what are the main environmental struggles in the U.S. now, you'll find that Native peoples are kind of really leading the way and doing exceptional kind of organizing and resistance work.
Mm-hmm.
As a model, you know, for all people in the U.S.
And we still have Amin Hussein on the line. And Amin and I speak about Palestinian struggle and connecting that with other struggles every week on the show. And one of the things that was in some of the footage that you've already shot in some of the interviews is this moment where people cite a spiritual connection. And I thought that was really interesting, a spiritual connection between Native Americans who are struggling here and Palestinian struggles. And I thought it was really interesting that it was stated that way, particularly in light of something that Amin just said, which is just this ongoing sense from Palestinians when they see the footage of what's happening in Baltimore, of a connection between the people. And that connection is deeper than just simply on the surface, we're in the same kind of situation. The connection is much more visceral and a sense of shared humanity, perhaps even. And I'm just wondering if maybe we can together, and Amin, perhaps you have a comment here. Think about the way in which all three of these struggles really do connect. In other words, Black Lives Matter, Native American struggle against further annihilation, and Palestinian struggle, particularly perhaps the right of return.
I mean, I'd be interested actually to hear from Matt and Malik. To me, it's the basic idea. The depth of it, just kind of goes back to just like, A, being human, B, your existence is being threatened, C, you have to live every day under these threats, and so you have to transcend them in some way, you know. And I think I think that's kind of what all three face, I'd be interested to hear from the filmmakers.
Matt Malik?
Well, you know, one of the most inspiring things for us about our trip, so after, you know, as Matt said, we went to Akwesasne, the Mohawk Reservation in upstate New York, and then shortly after that, we went to the Middle East, and we visited Palestinian refugee camps throughout Lebanon, Jordan, and then we also went to the West Bank. And in each of the places that we went to, we did a presentation where we showed two short videos that we've made. One of them has been released on the War website of War Magazine. It's called We Love Being Lakota. It's about Pine Ridge. And so we showed two videos, one about Pine Ridge and one about Akwesasne. And the reception, particularly in Jordan, where we showed it to the Jordanian Women's League, which was actually, in essence, the Palestinian Women's League. I mean, it's called Jordanian, but the majority of the people there are Palestinian. And then we also showed it at the Jenin Freedom Theater in the Jenin refugee camp. And the reaction was really overwhelming. It was, and I think one of the most important things with highlighting the Native struggle was to show people that Natives are not, because people know about Native Americans from the point of view of the past. It's
right.
It was seen 100 years ago. It's something as a historical issue. But people aren't aware of contemporary struggles going on with Native people, and you know, but not even the fact that they even exist, that they still exist, that they're still surviving, they survived genocide, and that they're still resisting and defending what land they have left. People aren't really aware of that, not even aware of it in America, let alone in the Middle East. So one lady in Amman said something to the effect of the fact that they're still resisting after all this time and after all they've been through gives me hope as a Palestinian. And she genuinely meant that, and that was, I think, one of the most memorable points of the whole trip. So,
wow.
Yeah. It was definitely... Connecting the struggles was definitely something that was really eye-opening to people over there and also inspiring. And we're lucky to be able to show it.
Well, you know,
the Palestinians in Amman and also in Jenin refugee camp.
Yeah, exactly. As you mentioned, the Lakota, looking at some articles, one about the proposal that out in the West, out in let's say in Arizona and New Mexico, that they are considering some kind of a theme park, some kind of where is this? It's right out there in the area of the Grand Canyon, where they're considering the National Park Services are considering digging in that area right on the rim of the Grand Canyon.
No way.
It's just right in, again, as you're talking about, in people's lands. And not only that, the suicide rate out in the Lakota population, particularly with the young people, are at an astronomical rate right now, currently, and the people there are very, very concerned about their young people, of course, about their quality of life, and as the filmmakers pointed out earlier, that the native populations there, all over the country, are at the forefront of environmental issues. So we watch this incredible depression and suicide amongst these young people taking place out there on their reservation.
Unbelievable. I can't believe the idea of an amusement park at the Grand Canyon, but nothing should shock us, I suppose.
I think they're Italian, some kind of Italian developers or financiers are considering doing that. You know, they want to make money, but the park services, which is even more startling, are the ones that are considering leasing out part of the land on that area. And I can only imagine whose land there are out in that area of the United States.
One other thing that comes out in the film, which I thought was really interesting, is the idea of being a people versus being a nation. And I think that that's probably extremely significant to all three of these struggles, Palestinian struggle, Black Lives Matter, and contemporary Native struggle. Because in a sense, even within the African American community, we are obviously citizens of the United States, but there is a division that's so deep that there's a formulation, a self-understanding of being as a people rather than necessarily being fully incorporated into the nation, fully American, hence, you know, African American. And I think that that's a title that most African American people choose for themselves and identify first in that way and secondly as American. And so I wondered if maybe we could just wrap up with a comment on the what that distinction is and what was being expressed and how that could evolve through this kind of spiritual connection and through this solidarity work that's expressed in your film and also, of course, in all of the work that Amin does as well.
Perhaps, Matt, yeah, what you're talking about was a guy we met in the Mohawk territory in upstate New York made this distinction that the Mohawk are a people and not a nation, because I think he was trying to clarify that nations like the United States or Canada, he says, you know, the people have nothing in common. There's no real form of life or way of life in common. There's no real connection to the land in terms of, you know, how people eat, how people kind of live, the seasons, how time passes. It's just a purely kind of arbitrary that, you know, the citizen is the only kind of unit within the idea of the nation. So if you have something like a Mohawk or Lakota, that doesn't mean you're a citizen. It means a whole kind of history, legacy, form of life, a culture, and you know, within that, a spirituality that's connected to place. And I think that's where, you know, this idea of a spiritual connection comes in. You know, earlier we talked about, you know, this idea of autonomy, and this could sound like some maybe word you're not sure what it means, but it's actually quite simple. Whether you're in Baltimore or Mohawk territory or Lakota, or for Palestinians, it's just people just want to live, and you want to live a simple, basic life that they've lived for a long time and in a long, and you know, in a particular place. And people see each other struggling for very basic, simple things. I don't know if you want to call them human rights or something, but even it's even more basic or simple than that. They just want to live in a way that's not totally absurd or ridiculous or oppressive or violent, you know. So I think the spiritual connection within this kind of struggle for autonomy is just that. But having this idea of a life that you actually want to live that's being prevented by maybe a nation state or a police force or whatever it may be, an occupying force.
Wow. Very, very interesting stuff. And as always, we don't really have enough time.
How can we find out about the films? Just before we leave, because it's right now, it's 7:01 and we're out of time. But how could people find out any more information about the film?
So we have a website. It's called thenativeandtherefugee.com. Mm-hmm. And it's also on Facebook, facebook.com/thenativeandtherefugee, which is the name of the project we've been doing. And there you can see some of the videos we've made, some of the events we've been doing, et cetera. And you can kind of stay updated on the project as we continue.